The title that I would like to give tonight for this is two words, the end. You know, sometimes you will read a book, and maybe it is what I would think would be a sequel. There's other books that will come with it before it's all been given. But if you read a book and the last page of it says the end, there'll be no more to follow about that story. It's finished. And I thought about, when I go to the cemetery, often when I look at the two dates that are on there, I look at that last date as being the end. The first was the birth. The second was the end. There is a verse in Proverbs that says, without a vision, the people perish. That verse can be used in many different ways for many different subjects. What I would like to use it for tonight, without a vision of eternity, without a vision of us realizing that last date is not my end, it's going to be very easy for me to perish for eternity. I would like for us to start tonight, I desire your prayers. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, we have a lot of young people here tonight, and there's instruction given in the first part of this chapter. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The instruction is the very best time for you to start serving the Lord is begin it young. Because this chapter continues with what has happened to all of our lives. Some of it continues to the elderly that are here today. Because this goes on down and it tells us about the aging process through the fifth verse. And then it goes on down and tells us in that fifth verse, man is going to his long home and the mourners will go about the streets. This tells me that that last number that's given on the tombstone really doesn't have anything to do with the end. If we could only have a vision tonight that that number is really the beginning of eternity for that person. This has not come to an end for him. When my number is given on my tombstone, that won't be the end for me. That really will be the beginning of eternity. So I was looking at some verses, and when we go through this one, it says man's going back to his long home. How long? You know, we're human, and it is hard for me to imagine anything that has no end. But that's what eternity is. And I'm fast approaching that. And if you're young here tonight and you say, but I have many years, those years will pass fast. And your longest time, if you live 80 or 90 years, will be nothing compared to that long home that we're all headed for. So I was looking at the end of that chapter, and it gives us some instruction. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. When I start getting the vision of eternity out ahead for me, it needs to increase my fear of God, my respect for Him, how much I need Him to guide my life that I'll be able to make heaven my home in the end. Fear God, keep His commandment. This is the whole duty of man. For God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hebrews 9 and 27 tells me that every one of us, and none of us will avoid this, we have an appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So that date on the tombstone, the last day that is given there, is not the end. There is a lot to happen after that. It's just that in between those two dates has determined where I will go and spend that long home. The 20th chapter of Revelations, it gives us a little picture. You know, we need to, all of us need to carry this picture as a vision in our mind, because one day we will all see it. A great white throne, 20 and 11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Can you imagine that today? When we look around us today, there's very little respect for God. There's very little reverence for God. Many people don't even believe there's a God. This one says there's coming a time from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great. You know, there's classes of people today. There are wealthy people. There are poor people. There was a rich man, and there was Lazarus. We all will face this time here. Saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Here's what's important for me, is that I keep this picture in my mind of one day I will stand before that great white throne, and I will give account of the deeds that are done, have been done in my body between those two dates that are on my tombstone. And then I will spend eternity to reap for that. Two places in eternity. That's hard to imagine, because in this life I have so many options. I can choose where I want to go to work. I can quit that job and move to another. Tomorrow, I could move from here and go anywhere I wanted to move. We have so many choices. And yet, after that last date on my tombstone, there is no choice. It will have been determined. I need to have a vision of that. And it needs to affect, because if I will truly have a vision, it will affect the choices that I make. Then I will be able to look at this choice that Satan is bringing to me, and I say, I wouldn't swap it. I have a prize we heard about last night, and I need to have a vision of heaven. Folks, I want to tell you, we also need to have a vision of hell. Because there have been many people that sat in services just like this with an intention of making heaven their home, had a vision of heaven out ahead. But Satan had a plan. He does not care if it takes him quite some time. And with some that we read about, it took a long time. But all that matters is before that last date is installed on my tombstone, that I have been turned. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And that fall can be eternally. You know, I love messages about heaven. And we live in a time where there are religious people today that say they have figured out that there is no hell. What we're going to need to do is just go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? And you know what? I need to have a vision that the Word of God is what I will be judged with at that last day. Because here's what the truth is. In Matthew, in the 7th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount is almost coming to a close, and he's got a few more things to tell the people. In the 21st verse of the 7th chapter, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." No matter how much I dream about it, no matter how much I plan to be there, not everyone will be there. But it gives us a clear direction in this verse. I can have a guarantee of being there. "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Jesus does not leave us in question about how to make heaven our home. It's very clear. He also does not leave us in question of what's going to happen to cause me to be lost. It's also very clear. This one says, many are going to say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works, and I will profess, I never knew you. This is when I stand before that great white throne, at a time when I cannot come back and make any changes. So without a vision, the people perish. I need a vision of this throne scene. I need a vision, and I need it so clear that I stand before the Lord today and say, Lord, like David did, Lord, would you search me? Would you know my heart? Would you try me? Would you know my thoughts? Lord, would you see if there be any wicked way in me? Because I am headed for something more than that last day that's marked on my tombstone. I'm headed for eternity. When he says, depart from me, what does that mean? Folks, there's only two places. If I don't go where he is, hell is the only other place to go. To prevent myself, there's something I want to tell you right here. I need to run for my own life. I can spend my time looking at you and trying to decide if you're going to make it or not. I don't think we have enough time left for that. It's time for me to focus my soul in the Lord. Lord, I want you to show me where I stand, because this won't come to an end when I lay in the cemetery with a date on my tombstone. I must do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. There is another one that tells me in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. This is that scene again that we see just before we stand at the great white throne. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he's going to say to some of them in the 34th verse, I would love to be able to hear these words. The king shall say to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And in this verse, these verses, he gives some instruction of what they did to help them to be ready. It says, I was a hungered and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me meat. Now, is that the thing that we need to help us make heaven? That's not the only thing. But he stresses it with enough importance that I need to be looking around me at others that are in need. Because he clearly tells me, we can't separate the scripture and just take one and say this is all of it. But it is part of it. If he tells me that he's going to tell some folks depart because they didn't do this, and others welcome because they did it, I need to take it into my life and start adding that thing. Now, does that mean that, okay, philanthropy is what will get you to heaven? Give your money, give as much of it as possible. No, there are some other scriptures that give us advice about it. But it does tell me this is important. Because I have read before the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I tried to figure out, Lord, why didn't you tell me why he was lost? It doesn't say. He could easily have told us he extorted his money. He robbed the poor to be able to be wealthy. It doesn't say anything except that he lived a very lavish lifestyle. And then it just adds one more person into the picture. That there was this beggar named Lazarus that was at his gate. He wasn't down the road that the rich man never knew about him, and yet he's accountable for him. He was right there to where he could have helped him, and he didn't. So then as I read these verses, that it says, welcome, come into this heaven that I've got for you because you did these things. I say, Lord, help me, because I realize that works alone will not save me. Ephesians tells me it's not even by works that I can be saved. But you know what? Works has got to follow salvation. May the Lord help me, because my desire is to have a vision of what it's going to take. When my last day, and I think this was the end, it's only the beginning. Two places after death. Have you ever read in the obituary in the newspaper that it says this person did not make it? You don't ever see that. And again, we are not the judge. But you know what? It seems that everyone is going to heaven today. And yet we have so much instruction about what will cause me to miss it. You know what? Again, I don't look around at others, but I take no consolation myself that I can get by easily. Because I'm going to stand before the Lord. And the Lord gives me some instruction. I've got another place that I'd like to look at in Matthew 7 and 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Destruction. Oh, that's that other place. If I didn't make heaven my home. And many there be which go in thereat. And if God does not help me, I will be one of those. But you know what? This is not a message that, okay, I may not make it. No, what I want it to be is, let me get a vision of this thing, to where I realize what heaven is and the price that I need to give. I need to give my all to make it. He gave his all so I could make it. And I read over in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, where the end is coming. And it tells me he's not willing that any would perish. His desire is everybody makes heaven their home. So if I miss it, I've missed it over all that he did to try to help me to make it. So what I see for this tonight, and because I see others that were more spiritual than I am, could write some songs that told you God was visiting them, and we sing them tonight. Somewhere between the first date on their tombstone and when the last one was applied, Satan was able to draw them aside. I don't want that to happen to any of us tonight. If we will have a vision of what eternity is like, I'll seek the Lord different about the choices that I make in my life. There are some scriptures that tell me clearly, if I fall into this category, I will not make heaven my home. Some of those I need to take a look at and say, Lord, help me to stay out of that category. One of those is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, we could stop that verse right there and just say, righteousness is what's going to be very important to God. Unrighteous will not inherit it. But just in case we couldn't tell what those were, he goes down and he makes it clearer for us. And want to walk with a carefulness before him, because this says, don't be deceived. Folks, you know what? We can have religion all around us and be deceived at where I'm going to spend eternity. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves. We heard about that this morning. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners won't inherit the kingdom of God. I need to say, Lord, search my life. I don't find myself in these categories. But Lord, there may be some other scriptures that have some categories to them that says, Peter asking the Lord, how often should I forgive somebody that's done me wrong? 70 times 7 in a day. You know, I can be lost with unforgiveness in my heart. And I just checked off all these other things that said I could be lost with those. And I said, I'm ready to go. That's why each one of us, myself included, need to ask the Lord, Lord, I need you to search me. Is there anything that is not like you? In John 8 and 21, Jesus had a desire that his people that he came for would be saved. In 8 and 21, he's talking to them now. And he says, Jesus said again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He has a place prepared for every one of us to make heaven our home. This verse tells me if I die in my sin, where he is, I cannot come. The world around us, the religious world around us, will tell us we need to make a decision for Christ. After that, Jesus forgives the sins that we commit. This one says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. That's the beauty of the Christmas story. She shall bring forth a son, and you call his name Jesus. Got the abilities to save his people from their sins. I think about the word grace for us. No matter how wicked the world may be around us, and it may become more wicked yet out in the future, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's just that I've got to apply for it. I've got to realize how much I need it in my life. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Well, you know, much of the religious world says, I don't cover my sins. Every night I tell Jesus I did them, and he forgives them again. This verse says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. For me to be able to make heaven my home, I'm going to have to not only confess, I'm going to have to forsake it. And again, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. He never intended for me to have the fortitude in myself to do it. What his desire was is for me to realize how much I need him to be able to do it. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our times of need. It's his desire for us everyone to make it. Here's a scripture that says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No matter how I want to turn it, when it's all said and done, God will be looking for holiness in my life. Holiness has gotten a bad name over the last years. It represents a people that speak in tongues. But I want to tell you, holiness goes much farther than that. It's my daily conduct, my conversation, my walk with the Lord. Without it, I won't see him. It says also, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. There's a verse that tells us, when I sorrowed after a godly sort, it made some things happen. It brought about a carefulness. This is in 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. What a carefulness it wrought. You know what? If each of us tonight could truly have a picture of eternity, heaven and hell, what a carefulness it would wrought in our lives. The decisions that I make, the choices that I make, what a vehement desire, a strong desire, Lord, I want to please you with my life. You just show me those things that are heading me in the wrong direction. Because I see out ahead when I draw my last breath, I have only begun something. There is another verse that tries to tell us the seriousness of what we're talking about tonight. It's in the 5th chapter of Matthew and the 29th verse. Because there are things that Satan can bring to us to entice us. He did it with Eve. After God had told her, of all the trees you can freely eat, but of this tree, don't eat it, lest you die. She did not realize what all was involved in that dying. Satan would like for us to not realize what all will involve in dying and yet being alive here. Remember the verse that says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Still walking around, but unless some changes come, will be lost forever. This verse in Matthew 5 and 29. How much effort would you put forth to make heaven? This verse says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body be cast into hell. Can you imagine that tonight? It would be better to lose your eye than lose your soul. It goes on to say, if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you. It would be better for that to be gone and we make heaven. That all seems remote to us today because Jesus has come. I can cut my hand off if I want to. I can pluck my eye out if I want to, because I'm having trouble resisting temptations that the devil brings to me. But you know, we heard a message this morning about the mind. It keeps on working. So we're going to need some help more than what cutting off my hand or my eye. This is just trying to tell me the seriousness of me putting forth some effort to put some distance between me and the things that could cause me to be lost forever. Would be better to be without those vital organs that I think so necessary than to have them and be lost forever. There are things today that are legal for us, but we better walk with a carefulness because it can trap us. Folks, it wasn't so many years ago that if you had a phone hanging on the wall in your house, you were really doing something. Some of the older folks will remember the old party line where if you want to find the news, it wasn't on internet. You just pick up when you heard the ring going to somebody else and find out what's happening. That was seemed like so long ago. You know what? Things have changed now. I remember when we used to travel together, two vehicles traveling across the country. And we have an agreement. If we get lost from each other, go find a payphone. I don't think you can find one today. Go to a payphone and call back to an agreed number that we have, and let's try to find out where we are. So much has changed. I remember then we really advanced. We were traveling with Cheryl's folks out to Colorado, and the CB radio was out. Oh, this is wonderful. If you don't get farther than about a mile apart, we could talk to each other. How things have changed. Today we have internet. You can get high-speed internet. You can get it to where it comes to you faster and faster. And I can spend more and more time on it. You know, we're living in a time where I have a big interest in what's happening in the world around me. Politics. What's going to happen tomorrow? So I can wake up in the morning. First thing I want to know is the news. What happened during the night last night? What's it going to be? If I could just ask the Lord to give me more vision that I'm headed for eternity. And Lord, I want to make sure that I spend the time necessary for you to talk to me. Because you know what? It's kind of hard to hear his voice when I'm wrapped up in the news that we've been hearing for the last few weeks. It's just running. I can wake up in the night thinking about it. And that date that I thought was my last day is coming for me, when I'll not be able to make any more changes. I won't be able to tell the Lord. I have on my cell phone here, it tells me each week you have increased your usage time or you have decreased your usage time. Am I going to stand before the Lord and he say, okay, let's check this out here. You spent this much time reading the news and how much time reading my word? This is not to cast us down. It's if I have a vision, there's a very good chance I won't perish. Because everything starts lining up then for me. Those things that are truly important. And young people, I want to tell you, this is very important for you. You may feel like it's a long time before my date will be put on a tombstone, and that may be true. But if you make a choice to go out into sin, it's guaranteed to take you farther than you ever planned to go. And the miracle of the story about the prodigal son is that he came to himself. Very few people come to themselves. There are things that can snatch them out into eternity, and they not have time to make a change. So if I can see the seriousness of it, then I understand when it tells me, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Those things that I feel like are very important to me, throw them away if they're causing me to drift from the Lord. There's a verse that tells us about Moses. It's in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. He made some choices. It says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. None of us will ever say there are no pleasures in sin, but guaranteed they're for a season. If someone enjoyed the pleasures of sin and died in it, it was for a season. They have now moved into another season. It's payday now. He chose. Wonder what all Moses was able to see. He didn't have the New Testament to tell him so much about heaven and hell. He didn't have John 14 where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. But he was able to get a vision, and it caused him to make some choices in his life. So with a vision of heaven and hell, I think of this song. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though the world may try to allure, and it is going to try for every one of us. For the smile of God means more than sin's brief glittering day. I'd never miss heaven for the world. I would never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones who have gone on before. I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I would never miss heaven for the world. We need a vision of heaven and hell. And you know, I've always thought this is a negative thing. When I think about hell, I only want to think about heaven. Many religious people have done that. They have erased the thought of hell. Now it's just happy thoughts. But the Word of God says there's still two places. I'm guaranteed to spend eternity in one of them. Tonight I ask God for myself. Search me, Lord. Maybe I have just started on a path that could not be determined today to be wrong. Where does it lead in some years? What will it do to my children in some years if I continue to follow it? We need the Lord's help for any of us to make heaven our home. But I am so thankful there are scriptures that abound that says he is more than willing to help us out. May we seek him for it. I desire your prayers.